Hi. How do I change the background again? You're on mute.
Go to, you know where it has like the video camera? Go to video settings.
Oh, not that. Okay.
Background. And then, yeah.
Got it.
So you guys closing on a house? 2 days still?
We got the appraisal back, which went good, but there's a couple things we have to fit or that the seller had to fix. So then they have to go back and look at it again. So closing is going to probably get pushed back to next week, which is fine as long as we get that stuff done. So
yeah.
So far,
I remember when we sold our house, we had to fix some things, but they were just random things. Like we had to tighten the spring on the garage door because you know it's a fire door.
Yeah.
Like the inspector said it didn't shut fast enough.
Oh.
So it didn't take much. You just like had to tighten this. It was the dumbest
thing. Yeah. Yeah, we had to replace the toilet because there was a crack on one of the toilets. And then a window that had a crack, but we had already scheduled to replace it, but they still have to come back and see that it was done. And then it has brick in the front. So there's a brick missing and they want that brick replaced. We're like, oh my God, like little thing. Yeah. Like the little thing. So.
They're like, that's cosmetic.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there people in the waiting room?
Yeah, I'm going to let everybody, cancel. I'm going to start letting them in here.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you see me?
Yes.
I hope not.
It depends who.
I have Martha here with me.
Oh, is this Mr. Carey?
Oh, Dennis. You guys can look me?
Yes. Hi, Mr. Latif.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Looking good.
Very good.
He got a new computer set up.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're bringing in some reinforcements.
Can they see me?
Hold on a second.
Who have we got here?
Hi, it's Martha with housing. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. All righty.
So who is 2323263?
Me.
Cynthia.
Okay.
Cynthia. I'm listening on my phone.
Okay. I was just making sure we had a quorum.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Okay. You are looking at us. We've got two people in the room. We're safe distance in another planet. But we're doing the best we can. Everybody's suited up and booted up, so we were anxious to be here.
Well, good. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, great.
We've been looking forward to this.
All right. Oh my goodness, that's scary.
So should we call the meeting to order?
Yeah, we have a quorum and we're at our starting time. So why don't we call the meeting to order and we'll go through the agenda.
All right, call to order at 3:33. Roll call, please.
All right, DJ Becker.
Here.
Emmanuel Gomez. Tim Roche.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Cynthia Ortegon.
Here.
Muhammad Latif.
Present.
Dennis Smith.
Dennis?
Thank you. I had to get some.
Okay. It's okay. And Diana Robbins. All right.
Diana was going to join us, so she was going to try. And I think Dennis is trying to run a business.
Yeah, I got him.
I'm right here.
Cool.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm just teasing you. Thanks for joining us.
I don't have it. Have you? Can you guys see me?
We can see your iPad. No, I can. Nope.
We could a minute ago, but I think you got your camera flipped or you moved the iPad.
Okay. Good grief.
That little shiny thing.
Oh my gosh.
There should be a little arrow next to the video button.
Like, oh, I have like flipped a video my camera.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
You're fine. No worries.
The edge of that binder was probably better looking than me.
So do we have any members of the public attending?
Don't see anybody.
All right. Seeing none, I'll close the public comment period. And we have some guests. Welcome. So we have Mr. Massey Casper, Executive Director of the Housing Authority.
Yep, present and accounted for.
Okay, and who else is with you?
Martha with Madera Housing, the housing manager.
Hi, Martha. Thank you.
Hey. Hello.
All right. So, business matters. Let's approve the minutes from September 15th, please. Has everyone had a chance to read?
I'll make a motion to accept them.
Second.
Second. Motion and a second. Motion passes. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. So we'll move on to the next item. And that'll be the discussion regarding the role of the Madera Housing Authority in the community. Mr. Casper, please.
So, Mr. Casper, did you want me to share your PowerPoint, or were you going to have
that? Yeah, that would be fabulous. Okay. Please.
Give me one moment, and I will share it. Let me get it on the right screen. There, you guys see that now?
There we go.
Okay.
You go. So I'm going to have Martha run through this PowerPoint.
All righty. Okay. As the indication of the PowerPoint, we do provide affordable housing for low and moderate income families for Madera Housing Authority. And we have different programs. I don't know, how do you go up on the screen to the next page? Okay, good. Next page.
Yeah, you tell me and I'll hit the button.
Okay, next page. All right, we have different programs. One is called the public housing. The other one's called the farm labor program. The housing choice voucher, and which is called, a lot of people know it as Section 8, Yosemite Manor, and the Pomona Ranch housing. Next page. Okay, for the public housing, those are apartments owned and managed by the Housing Authority. These apartments are located throughout Madera in different areas. We have a total of 244 units. It varies from a zero, a studio, to all the way to a five bedroom. Okay, and of course they go by waiting list. Right now the waiting list is anywhere between a year to 3 years. Next program, next. The farm labor program is a year-round low-income program, and it's exclusively for the agriculture worker. The family has to meet at least, to be considered farm labor, they have to meet at least 5,753 coming from agriculture work, arriving from agriculture work. If the family makes more than that, by all means, they qualify. But in order to be considered an agriculture worker, they have to work at least 5,753. And also the head of household, or the person that is bringing in that income, has to be here legally here in the United States. We do have 100 units, These units are located at 337 Knox, 800 Lilly, and 1110 Kennedy. Okay, and the waiting list for that one, to be honest, right now it's a little bit shorter than 1 to 3 years. We just updated the waiting list right now, and it's a little bit shorter than that. So it's no more than 6 months right now. So if you guys know of anybody that is in that circumstances that are agriculture workers legally here in the United States, have them apply. We will start the process of eligibility. Next.
Martha, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
What's the average cost of those units, roughly?
Right now, the average rent, to be honest, let's see here. I know that we're proposing proposed rents. We're talking about increasing right now the rent, but right now it's 2-bedroom is $568, 3-bedroom $786, and 4-bedroom $903. And of course, it all depends on the family's income. Mm-hmm. Everything's based on the family's income.
Does that include utilities?
That is, yes, it is. It's including water and garbage. The family's responsible. Yeah, the family's responsible for the utilities that in PG&E. However, we give the families an allowance for that.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Next page. Okay, for the Section 8 program. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. Monday, yes.
If you don't mind. You were telling the addresses, location, farm labor housing.
Oh.
One is in Kennedy?
Yeah, 1110 Kennedy, 800 Lilly, and 337 Knox.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the Section 8 program, I'm sure that you guys have all heard about it. Everybody wants Section 8. That we give the family a voucher. They go out to the fair market rent. They look for their apartment or house of their choice, and we will subsidize the family with a certain portion. The housing authority will pay a certain portion to the landlord and help the family out. Of course, everything is also based on the family's income. The unit has to pass decent, safe, and sanitary conditions inspections. So, and the family is able to move anywhere they want, anywhere in the United States, basically. Of course, we want to encourage them to stay here because, you know, we want to keep our families. But at the same time, if they desire to move to a different location, they are able to. They have that flexibility. Next. Okay, the Yosemite Manor Moors, it's a 76-unit senior complex. Senior complex on the corner of Yosemite and P Street is a three-story building, and it's for our seniors only, 55 and old, 55 and disabled or 62 and older. And of course, those are all one-bedroom units. And of course, there is a waiting list too. Okay, next. The different local preferences. In order to get a local preference, you do have to, it has to be documented. So we can't just have somebody walk in and say, well, I'm displaced, I'm homeless, I want the preference. No, it has to be verified, displaced homeless. It has to be referred by a social services agency that could verify that information, and they will refer the client to us. Residency, that is another preference, and those we have to have documentation indicating that they do live here in Madera, because we want to help everybody in Madera first before we help anybody else that walks into that door. Okay, a lot of people, what they do is they know that the waiting list, say for instance, the waiting list for Section 8 will open, and they come from San Jose, they come from LA, they come from all different areas because their waiting list, wherever they're from, is like a 10-year wait, or it's been closed for the past 10 years. So they hear of Madera opening up and they want to apply, and we will accept their application, but we will not give them the preference. So we will help everybody in Madera first before we help anybody outside of a non-resident area.
So,
okay, and
So this is a category, not so much a program.
No. These are categories. These are preferences.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a separate prioritization,
yeah. Yeah,
if you will. I don't see disability on here anywhere.
The disability will kick in at the time that when somebody applies. Mm-hmm. Okay, they at the time that they apply, they will. There is an area on the application if they need special accommodation. If they do need special accommodation, they mark that little box, and we will provide them with the unit according to what they need. So mm-hmm. if the family says, so, you know, I'm wheelchair bound or I eyesight bound or anything like that, we will provide. Place them on the waiting list according to that preference.
And have these local preferences been decided at the state level, or are they local? How were these arrived at?
It's all within the agency and local, approved mm-hmm. by the board members.
Okay, because the concerns, Martha and Mr. Casper, uh-huh. that we've had in the past is that we have someone that's maybe. Suffered a fire or other traumatic events, become homeless, disabled, and been kind of, kind of in between the cracks, if you will. So.
Whenever that happens, if somebody calls us and says, we went through a process of a fire, we will ask them for the proper documentation. So if a family went through had a fire in their home, we will just ask them for something from the Red Cross or documentation from the fire department, something indicating and a preference will be given to them. In regards to if somebody, any preference, any need that the family has, of course, it has to be backed up with documentation.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going more concerned, concerned about seniors and mm-hmm. persons with disabilities that may have been displaced. So I just, as a committee, that's something that we are working to increase awareness of and hopefully status. So Wendy, I have a request from Santos Garcia to possibly join our meeting. Is that possible? Okay. Sorry for that.
All right. No problem. And again, another of the preferences, of course, is our veterans, our preference.
Right.
If when somebody comes in, they have to provide us a DD-214 working preference. This is only for public housing. If the family could provide us documentation that they are working, that is a preference. And for the lease in place for Section 8, if somebody says, once they have completed their time on the waiting list, and if they say, I want to stay where I'm at, the landlord's willing to take Section 8, and they have waited their time on the waiting list, we do give them that preference also.
Okay.
Any other questions regarding local preferences?
Well, perhaps we can take that up in person sometime. I'd like to print this out and go over it and...
Just to reassure you, DJ, is that when somebody comes into the door and they ask for a preference of ADA accommodation, there is an area on the application that indicates, do you need an accessible unit? If they mark yes, they do go on top of the waiting list because of that need. Okay, so
that's been an area of concern in previous years. So, and that's a frequent comment that we get. Anyway, so moving on.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
This is Cynthia.
Yes, Cynthia.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Hi. I have a cousin who works with in the Bay Area, and she works for nonprofit organizations and with housing and stuff. And she told me, this is random, but she said, we don't call them homeless anymore. We call them unhoused. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, honest. We've heard that displaced, but not unhoused.
Yeah, that was the PC thing she told me. I thought, I don't know if that's something we're going to start using or not, but
we'll look into it. Yeah, we'll look into
it. Okay, thank you.
Next page. Wendy, okay. Pomona Ranch. It's a 6-month program that we have on the, it's off of 99 and Avenue 12. Avenue 12 and 99, it is for the migrant only. Those families are 50, in order to be considered a migrant tenant, you have to be at least 50 miles away from your local residence.
Hi, Diana.
Okay, so it can't be, I'm sorry?
Hi.
Did somebody have a question?
DJ, you're not on mute.
Diana Robbins is trying to join us. Okay, I'll take care of it.
Okay, and that program is only available for the 6 months. Once the family leaves, they go back to their original, where they come from. You know, a lot of people come from the Coachella area, Calexico area, and they just follow the season of work. Okay.
Right. How many, okay, so we have 50 units, and 50. Those are all serviceable at this time?
They start leaving during the season.
Okay.
Right now, I think we're down to one person only, but we're down to the end of the season.
Okay.
The season will only last up to December 31st.
Right. Are there any plans to use the facility the other times of the year like we have in previous years for homeless and such?
I know that at one time, I know that we did house some families, but at this time, I know that we need over $400,000 to get mm-hmm. the water pump
right.
back to, for it to work correctly, for it to be full-time tenant occupied.
Got
and
it.
We don't have the money, so who knows when that's going to happen. Hopefully in the near future.
Okay.
Okay. And then next.
Mr. Lateef?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes.
How about this contractor for the State Office of Migrant Service? So they pay rent or what?
Oh, yes, yes. Everybody pays a certain portion of the rent, yes. So it's not free. It's not free housing. Everything is, the family has a rent. And actually, in reality, these families have a rent where they're from. And then they come here to the ranch, Pomona Ranch, and they pay another rent. So basically, those families are paying two rents in order to continue the harvest season.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, next. Okay, the Resident Opportunity Service, the ROS coordinator. This program is funded through a U.S. grant. We apply for those grants, and that grant is for 3 years, okay? That coordinator works with the Section 8 program and also with the public housing tenants, okay? And she will give them, provide any supportive service that a family may need. So there is a lot of hand-holding for this coordinator. Okay.
And this is a
for the
new
ROS.
Position?
No, it's we've had this position for the past, I could say, at least 20 years. So,
okay.
But this one is, you have to go through grant, and this one is every 3 years.
Okay.
Next.
Please let the record reflect that Diana Robbins has joined us. Hi, Diana.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I'm sorry.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask
yes.
a question?
Yes, Dennis.
You said U.S., I believe you said U.S. federal grants, but HUD grant is the same thing, right?
Right. It's HUD grants. Okay, for this one also, it's the FSS coordinator. This program is for the Section 8 and the public housing also. These families are able to apply or get into it's a 5-year contract where the family goes in and on their own, this is a volunteer program, they go in and say, I want to better myself. I want to better myself, and the worker will guide them, assist them, handhold whatever it takes for the family to become self-sufficient. When the family, when you're becoming self-sufficient, of course, you're paying a little bit higher rent because you're getting better jobs, you're paying more rent, and of course, you know, your rent goes up a little bit. The difference of what you were paying to the difference of what you are now paying, a higher rent, goes into an escrow. an escrow account that is accumulating or collecting interest at the end of the 5 years, when the family has completed all their obligations and has completed the contract that they will be signing, the family is able to do whatever they want. They have graduated. They could do whatever they want with that money that has been safe for them in an escrow account. Of course, ideally is for the housing authority for them to move on their own, and that's what we recommend, the family buy a house. And we have had a lot of families buy their houses with this program. Okay, any questions? No? Okay, next. It's the same one. This is the Ross coordinator that I mentioned earlier with an FSS. Okay, I think it will be next. Yeah, I think I went through the whole process.
I'd like to dive a little deeper into the seniors services, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, no problem.
Because I know that we've recently let the seniors facility on Yosemite, east on Yosemite, the single story place. So that's no longer in inventory?
Yeah, no. The 800 East Yosemite is still our inventory. We still have a computer lab there. Right now, due to the COVID, we are not having those classes. But right. It will still be for our seniors, of course. Half of it.
The 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. I'm sorry, I can't think of the address.
You're talking about 131 Mace?
Not the 4-story, no. It's on Yosemite? Near
Social services?
Yes, it was near the old.
Where all the apartment complex?
Yes.
Yeah, no. That's the 800, we call it the 800, it is the 800 East Yosemite. We do have a computer lab there for the seniors. And
also our public housing. Are there units there?
Available, like open?
Well, were those the senior units?
Yeah.
Okay, and are they still senior units?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, so those are part of the 76 units that we have for
seniors? No. Remember, the 76 units, those are Yosemite Manor.
Right.
Yosemite Manor is on the corner of P and Yosemite.
Right, okay.
Public housing has approximately 74 units, and that's on the corner of, we call it the 800, right next to the DSS. We have some there. We have like 50-something, 54 units there. And then we have a little bit further down, we have at 131 Mace, we have another 20 units there.
Okay. Well, I'll get my location straight and get back to you.
All right. No problem. Okay. And like I was mentioning regarding the support, the Ross coordinator, and I think I mentioned, you know, we would guide them, help them, assist them, whatever it takes to help the family. Okay. And next page. And of course, we work with a different supportive services agency. We work with the health department, Camarena, all the different agencies, workforce. We work with all the different agencies to help these families become self-sufficient. Okay, next. And of course, like I mentioned, the benefits of being an FSS program is you will become self-sufficient. You will become self-sufficient, and at the end of the 5 years, all the escrow will go to you. The family is able to do whatever they want. They go out and buy houses. They go out and, you know, we want them to leave our program. I mean, we can't force them to leave, but they will become self-sufficiency to the point that they're not going to want to stay with us anymore because they want to be self-sufficient. So it is a wonderful program. It is a wonderful program, and we do encourage our families. Any questions?
I think I'd like more detail at a later time on the FSS program. It sounds like something that needs to be publicized a little more.
Yeah, well, you could do, MJ, if you want, we could always, next briefing or next meeting that we have to invite our families, we could have, we could invite you guys and see who would like to attend, and that one goes into a lot more details.
Okay, please put me on that loop, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Huh?
I have a question. Yes. Going back to the Section 8 qualifications, you mentioned that one person needs to be here legally.
No, no. That's for the farm labor program, remember?
Okay, I understood Section 8 as well.
No, no, no. Section 8, so, that's the Section 8. Yeah.
Okay, so even on the farm labor, so one person needs to be here legally. Does DACA qualify as legal?
No. We just had that scenario that USDA has gotten really, really strict on us in regards to that. They're not they're seeing permanent residency. A DACA or a employment authorization, that's only good for 1 year, okay? And they're not authorizing us to house the families that have that legal status. They're saying permanent residency.
Okay.
And that's only for the farm labor program. That's the only program that requires legalization into this country and meet the 5753 of income. All the other programs don't have that requirement. As long as you have one family member that is legally here, the family is okay. It will be a prorated family. But for the one for the farm labor, they're really, really strict that the head of household has to be the one with the legal status.
Okay, well, I didn't mean head of household. I'm saying, I think I just understood you to say that for Section 8, one person in the family has to be here legally.
Yeah. Okay.
So one person
that's
has to be
eight.
Here.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Section 8.
Has to be
okay,
a citizen or has to be here legally?
Okay. Section 8. Section 8 only requires for at least one person to be here with legal status. Okay. That
okay,
person.
And DACA qualifies?
For Section
that?
8, that's not a problem.
Okay, thank
for
you.
For Section 8, there's different qualifications for different programs. For Section 8, public housing, that's not a problem. The family will become prorated. They call it proration, which means we're not going to give them the full assistance. Okay?
So if one person out of a family of four is here legally under DACA, then the family would qualify prorated.
Right, so that means that the rent portion is going to be really high because we're not giving that rental assistance to every single person. We're only giving it to the person that is legally here. So a family of five, only one person is legally here. That means a small portion will be for that rental assistance for that family. The rest of the family members are not getting that rental assistance. So the family's rent portion is going to be really high.
Well. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. No problem. Any other questions? No?
Well, I'm sorry. This is India.
Perhaps you can take the PowerPoint and send it to the participants so they can have a copy of it for themselves.
That'd be great. And
yeah,
thank
I would
you.
Put it in FJF. I think Cynthia was trying to ask a question.
Yeah. Hi, this is Cynthia. Hi, I was going to ask if a person has a criminal background and is the head of the house, do they qualify or no?
Okay, well, every person that comes under our program, it doesn't matter if it's Section 8, public housing, farm labor, we do criminal backgrounds on everybody. If the family has had a criminal background, drug related or crime related or a sex offender. A sex offender, there's no ifs or ands. He's not going to qualify. But all the other ones, they won't qualify, but all of our tenants have the right to ask for an appeal. Okay? But
okay.
They will not, if they ask for an appeal, of course, we're going to go through the whole process and they're going to provide us documentation of why they're asking for an appeal. If they could prove to us that they have changed their lives around, by all means, we will, with approval of our ED, the family could be added on. But everybody will go through a criminal background.
Okay, thank you.
Martha and Mr. Casper, I think we as a committee would just like to stress our commitment and hopes that we can increase the housing stock for seniors and the disabled in Madera here from here forward. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Ms. Becker, that is, I wrote to Santa Claus, and that's my wish as well.
Well, hopefully.
Okay, and I am praying and hoping that everybody on the committee understands the HUD mandate with what we do. So can we be a developer in residence? The answer is I would love to, because I know there's a need, and I know that need is not going away. And that's where every individual on this team needs to pull. And if we can get the resources to bear, the Housing Authority would be more than happy to be a player in that particular arena. However, the Housing Authority cannot swing this alone. The Housing Authority has a very specific mandate. So we cannot go around developing on our own because we don't have the money, number one. Number two, the wherewithal. So this is where state, local agencies, developers, tax credits, the whole bit come to play. And that's what you're seeing, the two developments of veterans that is happening currently. It is a combination of multiple groups coming to bear that bring in or open up their purse strings, and that's how a development is really put together.
Well, I'm also on the Block Grant Commission, and in those meetings, I became peripherally aware of a way to leverage loan dollars through HUD for development locally for seniors projects and low income housing. And I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. I can't seem to find it, but if you don't mind, I'll find it and chat with you on that in the future at your convenience.
Absolutely, Ms. Becker. I look forward to it. We have a mayor that is committed to these things. We have a team in this organization that is committed to growing the stock, as we talk about. Mm-hmm. And how about Martha? Does she do a good job in that PowerPoint or what?
Yes, thank you, Martha.
Yeah, the reason why she got tire tracks on her is simply because I've been here for 6 weeks and I didn't want to stammer and stutter.
All right.
You've been here for how long?
I've been here for 28 years.
28 years. So there we go. So the next building, Ms. Becker, we're erecting will have her name on it. Just FYI.
Ay, ay, ay.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for the presentation. Do we have any other questions from our members? Cynthia?
I have a comment. I rent my part of my house to a person on HUD on Section 8. And she's been living with me for about 10 years now. And I really like the program because they come over every year and inspect the house, make sure it's safe and meets the qualities of whatever the HUD requires.
So, Cynthia, thank you for that. Extremely important to hear that, because our Section 8 manager here has just put together a brand new meet and greet for the landlords. It is extremely important for us to work with landlords, get them to understand how important they are for the Housing Authority and to house individuals that are looking for affordable tenancy. And so I hope you can stop by and visit with us at this first meet and greet, number one. Number two, you basically, amongst all the other landlords, are the backbone of the housing, of the Section 8 program. We're trying to grow that by not only showing a need, but also showing willing landlords, and that and a solid council behind us can then start addressing other needs like veterans housing. Again, through Section 8, we can go and talk about which we have just applied for another 40 vouchers for mainstream vouchers. Mainstream vouchers are somebody who is under 55 and disabled and cannot find housing. Mm-hmm. And so we're actively looking in every different corner of the HUD pockets to see how we can grow not just inventory, but families served. So we make a commitment to you and to your, in this particular group, that we're going to do everything we can to grow and serve the community.
Awesome. That would be awesome. Uh-huh. Thank you. Very appreciative of that. All righty. Well, I think that concludes our questions. Thank you very much, Martha and Mr. Casper. Looking forward to working with you in the future.
Likewise.
All righty. Moving on to the next item. That would be the update on Tyler 311, which I believe is a code enforcement application. Cynthia has been, had this on her Christmas list for a while.
So the staff working on the project couldn't make it at our meeting time today, so they gave me some information to share. Okay. So 311 is actually going to be a citizen app in general. It's not just code enforcement. So you want to report a sidewalk issue, you want to report a light out, things like that. Anything you come across when you're going through the community, that's what the program is meant to address. So if you'll remember back when Becky gave the first update, they had to finish implementation of what's called the work order program. And their estimate was February, and they will be hitting the February date, and it will be going live in February. Okay. So once that goes live, the Tyler 311 can go live. She did want me to share that they're having a hiccup with the GIS mapping. That's the feature that would let you, if you're, say, on your device, drop a pin wherever you're at.
Geotag.
So you'll still be able to submit issues for sure. They're working on the GIS feature. They're going to be changing out the server and doing a software upgrade to try and get past the bugs. But at this point, because they're in the middle of that, they can't guarantee GIS will be available on day one.
Right.
But they are working on it. So we should have it going in February as originally planned. And then the GIS will come as quickly as they can make it happen.
Do we know why it's called Tyler 311?
The company, the software is Tyler. So our program is Tyler Munis. And this is their Tyler 311 program.
And so it's a community-based app for reporting to code enforcement, or does it go to the city? Where does it go?
So, well, that whole work order system in the background that they're building tells it where to go. So if it's a streetlight, it's going to go to facilities. If it's a pothole, it's going to go to the streets division. So that work order, you put it in, and by category, it's going to send it to the right place.
Animal control?
I would hope that's in there.
I can't wait. I'm gonna be on the scooter, and you know I'm on the ground level. I see things that you guys don't see in your car, so I'm so excited.
Yeah,
Cynthia's gonna geomap the city for him.
I know.
I'm gonna have her do the sidewalk survey. We don't need a consultant.
I know.
All right. And is that available 24/7?
Yeah, it's software. It doesn't need people to run. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I've got high hopes for that then. Anything else we need to know on that?
No, as they get, as the system goes live, they'll roll out the information to everyone on how to use it. So.
Okay. Cynthia, any questions?
No, thank you, Wendy. I appreciate it very much for the update. I'm so excited. That's my Christmas gift. Thank you.
So will that app respond, or will the city department then respond to the reporting party? How's it going to work?
I do not know that level of detail.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it'd be like a reporting system.
We'll learn together. Yeah. We'll learn together.
All righty. Any other questions on the reporting application? Anybody? All righty. Thank you, Wendy. Advisory Council reports, announcements, requests for future agenda items. I'm trying to remember the last meeting I went to report on something. It's been a little while.
I've got something I'd like to put on the next agenda. I notice, especially now with the holidays, and now that we have Uber and DoorDash and all these other delivery platforms, I noticed for a long time that some of these FedEx, Amazon, UPS will park in handicapped spots because they're right up front by the door. And
they're only going to be there for a minute.
And they're only going to be there for a few minutes and so forth. But, I mean, 5 minutes yesterday, I got a picture. We can discuss how this can be addressed. I mean, they have obviously truck numbers. The one I got yesterday was parked at the bank, taking up two handicap spots. Yep. And she was almost 5 minutes in the building. So it's a multi-level building with other offices, so I'm sure she was upstairs. But yeah, I hate to see people get in trouble, but come on.
Yeah, well, it's generally a lack of concern and respect for the space. Our folks at Hertz are again detailing vehicles in their handicapped spot, and they've been, you know, questioned, asked, begged, pleaded many times. So I think it's probably going to have to result in citations to get a test. Citations change behavior. I'm, you know, sorry to put it that way, but, you know, I don't know what else to do. So I think we need to take that up with traffic at PD, but they're very short staffed, and it's a difficult time for everybody right now.
If we can put it on the agenda for next time, then maybe somebody will have some ideas for that time. Thank you.
That was on my list. So any other suggestions? Diana, Cynthia?
None, I don't have anything.
Okay. I'm not sure. Was Cynthia trying to call through? No? Okay. Diana, I sent you a couple of photos. I don't know if you're able to share those from your email. Putting you on the technical spot here.
I didn't get them.
No, Diana Rojas.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. There we go. Okay. I'm making pretty good outreach with folks. And of course, you know, on my flag campaign or crusade, as some people refer to it, we're getting a lot of new folks that I'm noticing in power chairs. I don't know if anybody else has noticed that. So we're continuing with the flag campaign and just generally interacting with folks and asking and assessing their needs. And then there was another gal there.
Yeah, bringing it up right now.
It was a conversation I wanted to share, and it literally stopped me in my tracks. This was a young lady at Walmart. And of course, during the pandemic, and she was trying to get Chowchilla to Madeira, and she was trying to explain to me the bus routes. And Cynthia, you may be able to shed some light on this. Are you there?
I don't think she's here anymore.
Oh, darn. Okay. What this young lady had to go through to get to Walmart from Chowchilla was at least four and a half hours. And it was just kind of mind-boggling. So I don't know, is there anything we can do, Wendy, to kind of facilitate? Because it involves the county bus route, the city bus route. Dial a ride doesn't function inner city, does it?
Not the Madeira. If there were issues with the city routes, that would go to the Transportation Advisory Board. If My screen just went blank. If it's issues between the routes, that might be what you bring up, like at the Transportation Commission when they're looking for unmet transit needs.
Okay, because it just seems to me that we've overlooked this component, and everybody wants to shop at Walmart. And this gal, made a semi-monthly trip, and it was just a horrible ordeal. And it was just, as she's actually looking for housing, so I was trying to point her in the right directions for local housing because of the Chowchilla remote access. But as I run across these needs, it highlights the transportation and the deficiencies that we're, maybe missing. So, all right, let's see. And then I have a couple of, I still have concerns about that roundabout on Caitland being ADA compliant as far as pedestrian crossing. So I guess that would be a probably an engineering or planning. I'll take that up with planning again personally.
It's engineering. Okay. Did they
I just
meet
have some
you?
Unanswered questions.
Yeah, did they meet with you at the site or no?
No.
Okay, no. I had asked them to, so I'll follow up.
Okay. And then, on another issue, I wanted to clarify, so members serve until they're replaced by their council person, correct? Right, so we won't have any vacancies. Okay, so I guess the council is working on that.
Council's working on that. So for example, Diana Robbins, we gotta use last name since we have two Dianas, is going to be reappointed. Okay. So I'm working on taking that to council, and Councilwoman Evans is still considering, and then I need to follow up with Mayor Garcia and Councilmember Rodriguez on their districts.
Okay.
And then we have obviously the council vacancy, so whoever's appointed in that district will continue to serve until such time that
we can we reach out and determine what Manny Gomez's intentions are? I know he's been struggling to attend, or I don't know. Wait, nobody's heard from him lately.
I haven't.
Okay.
It's going to come down to whose appointment he is and what they want to do.
Okay. Well, I think, just the fact that he's missed a number of meetings, and we haven't heard, any out of town or any contact at all. Have you? I haven't heard anything.
Uh-uh.
So, okay. All righty. Anybody else got anything for the future agendas? Are we sticking with quarterly meetings? Wendy, are we?
I think for now, while we get the council appointment sorted out, we plan on meeting probably, I think, March, and we could do our election of chair and any business that's accumulated between now and then.
Okay.
And we should know by then who our advisory council is going to be for the next
Okay.
2 years till the next election.
And I would just like to say that I would, strongly like the current folks to continue to serve and just reapply, maybe. Is that how it's, anybody that's currently serving that's open could reapply?
They could, but once again, it comes to the mayor or council member who's making the appointment.
Right.
It's their appointment. So we always check with the existing council to see if there is interest in continuing, but it is the appointment of the elected official.
Got it. All righty.
Every person has to apply again?
No.
Thank you.
No, if your district had a new representative or a reelected representative, I've reached out to them. I've provided the application you had on file, and they are going to make a determination if they want to appoint someone new, they want to reappoint you, or they want to, it's completely up to them what they would like to do with that appointment. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So if we need updated applications, I will let you know. But right now they've been provided the application on file.
Oops, I lost my screen. All righty.
Wendy, do you know who's districts, who was appointed in District 5? Is that the one that's council member that's not seated?
Let me look. So District 5 was, who did he appoint? I'm not sure if the city clerk has it on city share right now. She was updating the list, but let me look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, committed volunteers are valuable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Make sure that we get the communication going both ways.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's there. So does anyone remember if you were appointed by Councilmember Garcia? No recollection?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. You know,
that, let me see if I can find my council report.
Other than the fuss that I went through, you know, it's one of those things that kind of, Cynthia's been on for how many years? 10, 12? So
14.
14, thank you. There, has it been that long? Wow. Since we were harassing the post office?
Yep.
Okay, so yeah, maybe an update.
I got drafted against my will.
So, okay, well, information is always good to have. So I guess I'd like to know what's going on there so that maybe we can... you know, make a recommendation.
I'd like to know because I don't even know the area where council, where that area is. So I don't know who to ask if I know anybody. So I'm just trying to think about.
Right, I know. Well, they're trying to fill the council seat, so they've got bigger fish to fry over there at the moment.
Yeah.
All right. Wendy, is that information you can share with the group?
Yeah, I'll get the updated list from the city clerk, and I will share that with you.
Okay, sounds like a plan. So we don't have any other items for agenda at the moment, so last call, anything? Thank you for the picture, Dennis.
I think I have a list.
Cynthia's phone network crashed. Anything, Mr. Lateef?
Yeah, I was looking the list of every commission.
You're on the TAB commission now, right?
Yeah, I am. One second, I am looking here.
All right.
This is our is right now as ADA. Well, it's not complete. It is different. It is notice of vacancy. I misunderstand.
Okay. Well, if you have some concerns, just go ahead and email them to me or give me a call.
No problem. Just I was making easy for the District 5.
Councilmember Garcia for District 5 had appointed Dennis Smith.
Oh. Okay.
Recently?
No, February 2019. Two.
Okay. All right. Well, that would have been a reappointment because Dennis has a long history here. Goes back more prior to that, but so that was okay. So we're going to have the mayor's vacancy. Oh, I don't know.
We'll have whatever we have. It's up to the elected officials.
Right.
All right, so I think that's the agenda.
Mr. Lateef?
Yes, thank you. Nothing.
Okay. Did you find it? All right.
No.
Okay. So meeting adjourned at 4:29.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.